If you have a good position with a few soldiers, you could overcome a lot of soldiers in a bad position. For example, you could have hundreds of soldiers in a valley and just a few soldiers hidden behind the hills. Guess who will win? Those in the valley got no protection. So position is important. And here, as Joshua is about to go into battle, they are taught how to get into spiritual possession. Position. Five principles, each one in one chapter. In chapter 1, the principle of meditation on the Word. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Look at what he says. A lot of people who want prosperity forgot to do the first part. Meditate day and night. Do you notice he didn't even say meditate in the morning? He says meditate day and night. Day and night. Day and night. Says to continually meditate on the Word. And that is one of the first principles that should have been taught to a new believer. How to meditate on God's Word. Now, meditation is not sitting down in a certain position and, you know, and all that. In Christianity, that's not the meditation we're talking about. Christian meditation is taking the Word of God and speaking and confessing them over and over again. From the Hebrew word hegah, which means to mutter softly to you. Now, here's an important point in meditation. Notice how it says day and night. That tells you that God is not just ministering to your understanding and your mind. A lot of people do not want to meditate the Word because they don't understand. They say, why should I say something I don't understand? Why should I confess something that I don't understand? Because God says we don't understand until we receive it first. And we're supposed to just meditate. Imagine a little baby that is growing up. And as you're feeding the baby the milk bottle, the baby, you know, opens its eye, opens its mouth and says, "Could you please tell me how much amino acids and protein and fats and carbohydrates this contains before I will drink this?" If the baby could ever talk like that, the baby would starve to death. And we try to explain, you know, all these things, and the baby cannot understand. The baby can only open its mouth and eat and drink. In the same way, as we're born in Christ, the first thing to get in the position is meditation, day and night. Why day and night? Because there are special times. It's very, very important. You could meditate throughout the day. I'm not de-emphasizing them. Those are very important. But the most critical times are when you just woke up. And when you're about to sleep. When you just woke up and when you're about to sleep. They are very critical times. That's when we need to straight away get a scripture into our mind. The moment you wake up in the morning, praise God, this is the day, this is the day. The devil doesn't have a chance. But the moment you woke up, you say, "Aiyah, Monday. Finish." First thoughts. And I was asked about some family principles by some of you. Let me just touch on some of them. They are very powerful when you apply them to children. See, when you sleep, when your children are asleep, you could confess the Word over their life. And you watch a difference in their life. While they are sleeping, you speak the Word over their life. Like, for example, whatever your child's name is, right? Let's say, you know, Tang Bak Ku, okay? So your child is Tang Bak Ku. And we got Habakkuk, so must got Tang Bak Ku. And so your child Tang Bak Ku, so you confess. When they are asleep, you could have a child who you came before you knew God, and so they learn all the wrong things, and they are very hard to control, and etc. You watch what happens. Every night, when they are asleep, you confess the Word. He says, "Tan Baku. Tan Baku." Of course, they don't hear you, but their spirit hears you. Right? The spirit of wisdom and revelation is upon you. The eyes of your understanding are enlightened by God. You're a fantastic boy in Jesus. You're full of God's love. You're a proper child in God, and you confess over your child. If you find it hard to remember, write it down and read it. Read it. You watch what happens to your child. Fantastic changes. That's one of the secrets in bringing out children. See, when they get up, they subconsciously, they know you've spoken to them some nice things, but they don't know what it is. And so they get up, they become very nice. And some parents don't realize it. While their children are sleeping, the parents saw all kinds of negative things. Ah, yeah, that guy was a real devil today. So all kinds of negative things. And the child absorbs and soaks it in like a sponge, gets up, behaves like a worse devil. So don't realize the impact that we're having. You start doing that to your child, you see a tremendous change. The power of the spoken word, meditation. And in the same way we do it to ourselves, we take the spoken word. And God told Joshua, every day and every night, you must confess the word. You must speak the word. You must not let anything else but this book of the law be in your mouth. Don't let any other things be on your mouth. You must watch your mouth. So that only what is in line with this book of the law, which was the book of Moses, be in your mouth. Meditate. Speak it day and night. Speak it day and night. Every night, every day. The first thing in the morning when you wake up, think a scriptural thought. The last thing when you sleep at night, sleep with a scriptural thought. And you'll find that your life is transformed tremendously at that level. God showed me my meditation in a very interesting way, which I share in my book. I won't repeat that. But the struggle many Christians have in their life is because they go to church and they learn what they ought to do, what they ought to do, what they ought to do. And we have all the oughts and we know what we ought to do, but we don't have the desire to do so. And God showed me that sin comes in four steps. The first step, it starts as a thought. Then it goes to second step, imagination. Third step, desire. Fourth step, you commit it, the action. Then the positive is also there. When you hear God's word, it comes to you as a thought. When you meditate in it, it becomes an imagination. When you continue to meditate, it drops into you, it becomes a desire. Then you act it out. See, the problem is Christians know what they ought to do, but they don't desire to do it. Through meditation, you convert what you're told you ought to do, the oughts become a desire. When it's a desire, you never have a problem. Nobody has a problem doing what they desire to do. It's the easiest thing to do. So that, therefore, the Christian life becomes simple. That's where, number one, meditation will bring us to that position in Christ. In chapter 2, they went to Rahab, and you read the story of Rahab, but the key principle that you want to pick up here is the scarlet cord. That's the key that stands out here. See, the scarlet cord is a cord of salvation to Rahab. When she let down that scarlet cord, the two spies escaped. And then the man said, when the whole walls of Jericho are being destroyed and we come in, you must put that scarlet cord down and we will recognize it. Not only was the scarlet cord a sign to the Israelites, it was a sign to God. Because it was not the Israelites who brought down the wall of Jericho. It was God, probably through his angel. And remember that Rahab, if you notice where she stayed, in the book of Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And after the people had been heathen and they had gone off, it says that in verse 21, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. And they were let down through the window. Why? Verse 15. She let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. She dwelt on the wall. And when Jericho fell down, it was the walls that fell down. You could imagine that when they all shouted unto God after the march, as the whole wall came down, there was Rahab's house standing up there. While they were believing for all the walls to come down, Rahab was believing that her wall would stand up. That's powerful faith. See, when we begin to understand faith and how it is, we realize how practical it is, except that to many people it looks absurd. So some people have asked me, hey, if people believe God for rain, just like Elijah, they pray for rain, what happens if another person pray for sunshine? Well, the one who pray for sunshine, if their faith are equal, and they both do not doubt, okay, because the one side that doubt will not receive, then the other side's faith come true. But if one pray for sunshine, the other pray for rain, then they both get what they desire. The rain will come on one side, the sunshine will be on the other. What happens if they are neighbors? It will be just along the fence. In the same way that people always say, if every believer claims Daniel's anointing to be 10 times smarter than the rest of the crowd, and everyone claims to be number one, how can they be number one? I say, it's possible for all to be number one. There is such a thing as a shared position in Christ, in the class. So we need to understand that it's not really absurd. It's there in the Bible. And here's an illustration of Rahab, and she believed the wall to stand up. But the key that we want to see here is the scarlet cord. That represents Jesus Christ's salvation. Salvation of Jesus Christ. No matter how long you have been a believer, if you want to remain seated in the position of Jesus Christ, never ever forget the joy of salvation. Never ever forget how He picked you up from the miry clay, washed off all the dirty sin, and saved you by His grace. Never lose the awe of being saved. Remember what it was like to be born again. To be saved from sin. To realize, I can remember how joyful I felt. When I realized, hey, I'm saved for eternity. I'm no more afraid of dying. What an awesome experience. The realization. The Apostle Paul, in his entire ministry, in the book of Acts chapter 26, after about 15 to 16 years of ministry in the three missionary journeys, in Acts chapter 26, he testified that he was not disobedient to the vision that he had seen. And he refers back to what he saw when he was born again. Remember how you came to him. Remember that first love. And if ever you come to the stage where you think about Jesus and salvation and the cross of Calvary, and you cannot be moved emotionally, then your emotions are dead. The things of this life have choked your emotions. You need to ask God to touch you afresh and give you a tender heart. That's the second key to remain in position. Third key in chapter 3. As they came and crossed the Jordan, the main emphasis that you see here is the ark. In verse 7